Well, this morning's service is on one of my favorite topics. And this particular morning, I'm going to ask only one question. For heaven's sakes, whatever happened to one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice? Liberty and justice, all kinds of justice for all. Today we'll lift up that question and look at it in light of what we've learned in so many different ways in terms of our military, in terms of economic injustice and the Occupy movement, in terms of how we live our individual lives. For heaven's sake, whatever happened to one nation under God, indivisible, with every kind of liberty and every kind of justice for every kind of person? As Unitarian Universalists, we have a particular fondness for Dr. King. I bet that just about every Unitarian Universalist congregation is on the same topic this morning. I wouldn't be surprised. Many of our members were quite active in the civil rights work that Dr. King led in the 50s and 60s. We actually lost two of our Unitarian Universalist members to violence in that era, two UU martyrs, James Reeb and Viola Gregg Liuzzo, a minister and a lay woman. They were killed in two separate events in Alabama. The death of Reeb energized Congress into passing the Voting Rights Act of 1965. I think King's words and work resonate so well with us for a very important reason, and that's because we function on parallel paths with similar philosophy. True, his language was much of his teaching draws heavily from the Hebrew and Christian texts and ideas. He draws especially on the Hebrew prophets who spoke out against injustice in their times, just like in the hymn we just sang. He draws on Amos, who said, "We will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." And also on Isaiah, who said that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places shall be made plain, and the crooked places shall be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Together. To me, the operable word there is together. Justice for all. Liberty for all. Equality for all. King was very much influenced by the life and work and teachings of Gandhi in India. And the whole nonviolent and peaceful way of resolving conflicts that King was so well known for was learned from Gandhi. And this was one of his greatest contributions. The power of nonviolence fueled by love. King often spoke of love and power being connected, that one without the other doesn't work. He said that power without love is dangerous. And love without power and strength can be weak and insipid. So he did not see a contradiction there at all. Gandhi spoke of soul force. I think that's such a great phrase, soul force. And that is what King incorporated in his teachings in this country. And I think it's a very important concept for us as Unitarian Universalists to key into in our work in the world. It's serious business. Now, my children were all great athletes, and when they were involved in sports, one of the favorite, cheers was, "Rock you steady." It went something like this: "Rock you steady, rock you steady, Newton North, we're gonna rock you steady." It got the attention of everyone. It carries a message. We're serious. We're serious. And so this morning, we sang together, "We'll Build the Land." Nice tune, nice biblical references, nice, compelling. These are not just suggestions, my friends. They are a call to action. And the compilation of speeches and sermons that Dr. King wrote were entitled "A Call to Conscience." A call to conscience. When your conscience calls, it's not a suggestion. It's a call to action. These calls to action, these beliefs are meant to rock you where you stand, to rock you steady, to shake any complacent foundations that you have in your philosophy, to wake us all up. The hymn is not suggesting that we build a land when it's convenient for us or when we get a lot of people to just come and help voluntarily. It's not calling us to build the land when it's easy or when it's safe or when it's popular or when it's comfortable. No. We're being called to build that land every day under every circumstance. That's what call to conscience is. And when I sing that hymn now, I think of it in those terms. These words are about now. A couple of weeks ago, I checked out the tapes of Martin Luther King's sermons and speeches, which I do every January. I can't listen to them as much now because they weren't on CD at the library, and I don't have a tape player in my car anymore. But at home, I listened because there's almost nothing more inspirational to me than one man fueled by faith, because he wasn't solely a great civil rights leader. He was a civil rights leader fueled by faith. And that's something important for us to remember as a community of faith. So, as I said, that volume is entitled "The Call to Conscience." It is that conscience, that light within our hearts, that still small voice that is universally available to all of us, that persistent pull towards good that is your birthright. You have a right to connect with that call to conscience, with that light in your heart. All it takes is a decision to do so. It's there for all of us. Call it any name you choose, but it is yours. It is ours. And to live fully into it as a people of faith, it's a good idea. It's what makes things happen. It's what creates the change that we are seeking to create. Martin Luther King Jr. was a doer. He was a great orator, but he was mostly a doer. He wasn't afraid of being jailed. He wasn't afraid of dying. In his last speech before he died, he spoke of that, of saying that he might not see the promised land, but he knew that it was coming, and he knew that he wasn't afraid because he was giving his life to that call to conscience. So he was a preacher. He was a preacher with a dream. We call that prophetic preaching. And his dream arose bright and strong. It sang to him. I know it was his constant companion from the vast wells of his deep faith. Always, always in his work, he felt called by his faith. And that's what gave him strength. A call to conscience is an individual call. It requires self-reflection, an important part of all kinds of work. One of the things about being a Unitarian Universalist is that we are not simply a denomination, we are a movement. We are moving forward. We are, for us, revelation isn't sealed. We're always seeking greater truth. And in order to do that, it's necessary to reflect, to not just take somebody else's answers or somebody else's beliefs as what we hold to be our own, but to self-reflect always. Dr. King wrote, "We have waited for more than 340 years for our constitutional and God-given rights. Perhaps it is easy for those who have never felt the stinging darkness of segregation to say, wait. But when you have seen vicious mobs lynch your mothers and fathers at will and drown your sisters and brothers at whim, and when you have seen hate-filled policemen curse, kick, and even kill your black brothers and sisters, when you have seen the vast majority of your 20 million Negro brothers smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society, when you suddenly find your tongue twisted and your speech stammering as you seek to explain to your six-year-old daughter why she can't go to the public amusement park that has just been advertised on television, and see tears welling up in her eyes when she is told that Funtown is closed to colored children, then, wait makes no sense." King spoke about the urgency of now, and that's something that I think it's very, very important for us to remember. There is an urgency. The Occupy movement in this country this year really helped lift up for us the fact that there is a serious urgency of now, that there is so much suffering and so much inequality, 99% and 1%. There's been a lot of media attention recently, and some articles I've read have spoken about the fact that economic inequality is the greatest debilitating factor in any nation, and that in America, we have probably, well, one of the one or two highest levels of economic inequality. So that is an issue which is urgent and which is now. And it's not, you know, it's something to take action about and continue to support. The urgency of now was also brought home to many of us who saw the Eyes on the Prize, the PBS documentary of the civil rights movement. The images were devastating. So what are we going to do? I think we have many, many opportunities. The Standing on the Side of Love program that is part of the UU strategy for standing in solidarity with marginalized people is a very, very powerful tool. The fact that this summer we're having a very, very unusual General Assembly, a Justice General Assembly geared specifically to be in solidarity with the immigrants in Arizona where the law is so oppressive. I just got an email yesterday letting me know that ministers are being asked to come a day early for special training in how to be present, to stand in solidarity with the immigrant population, not to come there thinking that we have answers and we know what you need, but to stand in solidarity and to be of use to the people who are in need of recognition and support, who deserve recognition and support. Whatever happened to liberty and justice in every area, for every person, in every state, in every county, in every town? Whatever happened to it? As Unitarian Universalists, may we take that question very, very seriously. May we take building a land where liberty and justice are equally available. May we take that very seriously. May we live into our faith, into our principles. May we remember that reading that we did together, that opening responsive reading. That could have been a restatement of our Unitarian Universalist principles. If you have the time, look over again at reading number 584. And see that you see each one of our principles there. Dr. King taught us so much, and we honor him today. Blessed be, and amen.